What's on your heart today, Monsignor?
Today, I would really like to spend most of this podcast in reading and praying with the 17th chapter of John's Gospel. This is, and I would like to invite all our listeners, especially those who are baptized, to hear the intimacy and the love that he has and that he's inviting you into. Every baptized Christian is called to be a contemplative. Contemplation is not for just the elite. It's made for everyone. If you're baptized, you have a power within you. Listen to Jesus speak with his Father. Today, the 17th chapter of John is throughout the Gospels, we'll hear Jesus talk to his Father. I praise you, Father. I glorify you, Father, for what you have done. Matthew's Gospel and whatever Gospels that we read. But this is a whole prayer that is recorded. And it's Jesus intimately praying with his Father in the presence of his apostles. So why not? You know, remember that old song, "Gather round me, everybody. Gather round me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me." And here's this, really gather round. Gather round this intimate conversation with Jesus and his Father. And he goes on and on in the prayer. And in the references he makes, come and enter into the heart of Jesus, as in this 17th chapter. I'm going to begin with the first verse. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, now he is intimately talking and is going to continue in this prayer with his Father. Father, the hour has come. He's at the Last Supper. He's about to die. Tomorrow he's going to die. He's going to be buried. And then Easter he's going to rise. Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son. This is what he has been waiting for. So now he's saying to his Father, what is the glory that you're going to give me? My work that I'm going to do is going to glorify you. And that is my suffering, my dying, and my rising. You had sent me into the world to do this. Now the hour has come, so that your Son may glorify you. So that the intimacy between the Father and the Son, and through the power over all mankind that you have given him. Jesus is the King of the universe. Look at the whole world. You are included in it. But you and I, right now, have this same awareness and power that we have so that your Son may glorify you. And through the power over all mankind that you have given him, Jesus has this power over all mankind. Let him give eternal life to all those you have entrusted to him. Who are they? That's you. He wants to give you and me eternal life through the power that he has over all mankind. All of us who have been baptized have received this eternal life already from him, and we've been entrusted to him. And eternal life is this: to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. You know, when I come into prayer with people, when people come and they're going to make retreats, I actually say, do you know, you can actually talk to God the Father? What? Really? And the Father can talk to you? You see, you are in him, and he is in you. contemplation, that's what contemplation is. You, united with Jesus, because, and he's going to go on and talk about that intimacy that he has with you. As the Father and I are one, so I am one with you. And so you, in me, can talk to the Father. And the Father, it can talk to you. You can, when I have people who come on retreat, and they're going to be here for 24 hours, and they're going to begin their retreat, I say, well, let's begin. And now enter into this contemplative prayer. Where is that? It's in you. When a person goes to a hermitage, when a person goes on a 30-day retreat, when they go on an 8-day retreat, where are they going? To the center of their being, into the glory of the power of God who is within them. And eternal life is this, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In 10,000 years, God, who is in you, is going to say something to you. And it's going to be entirely new. Because who knows the mind of God? And as you enter into God, you, united with Jesus, have a union with God that Jesus has given you, and you will have that for all eternity. To know you and the only true God, to know you, the only true God, and him, this is eternal life. This is what Jesus is saying. I have glorified you on earth. Father, I came into this world to glorify you, the only one who has given you glory from the first moment that I entered, because I am your son. I am here in this world. These who are around me right now and listening to my prayer, who, every baptized Christian, can hear and come into union with me. I have glorified you on earth and finished the work that you gave to me to do. What is that? To suffer, to die, and to rise, to conquer through my suffering, through my death and resurrection, sin and Satan and death. For every human being whom you have given to me in this world. Now, Father, it is time for you to glorify me, so that the Father wants to glorify Jesus. And who is that that he's going to glorify? He's you. He's me. We are in him. Now, Father, it is time for you to glorify me with that glory I had with you before ever the world was. God had a son before the world existed. The union between the Father and the Son was the Holy Spirit of love, the Trinity. God from all eternity, glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be. That eternity, now, before ever the world was, I had that glory with you. I have made your name known to the men you took from the world to give me. They were yours, and you gave them to me. So before the world began, you sent me into the world, and they were yours, and you gave them to me. I come into the world, and they have kept your word. Now at last, they know that all you have given me comes indeed from you. Everything I have given to them. For I have given them the teaching you gave me, Who is that? That's us. Listen to the conversation that God is having with his Father. For I have given them the teaching you gave to me, and they have truly accepted this, that I came from you, and have believed that it was you who sent me. I pray for them. Who is that? That's us. As we listen to the dialogue that Jesus is having with his Father, I am not praying for the world, but for those you gave me. But for those you have given me, because they belong to you. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And in them I am glorified. We, as intimately as he is in the Father, and the Father in Jesus, are in him. And now we also, as he is glorified, by what? By suffering, by dying, and by rising. When I'm looking at this, you know, where do I find examples in my life? I've been praying and asking God, where did I see this? I saw this in George and Cecilia Essa, my grandfather, whom I live with. I saw a contemplative in my grandfather. The hours and the hours and the hours that he prayed. And it was really such a marvelous example. This man who was an immigrant from Lebanon, but his contemplation was of the divine life. He had entered into God, and God was in him. The radiance on him and the witnessing of him in his work, and he and my grandmother, as they had their 10 children in this world, I really didn't see it. He was a deacon in the Maronite church, the shemis, the servant, and he had such a humble and simple life as a man who worked. He actually, not knowing the language, he collected junk and sold it, but actually made money for his family. And they grew up and they not only ate, but they served so many poor and shared with them their lot. But the whole center of their lives was the contemplation that my grandfather and grandmother had of God the Father, to know you, and of Jesus Christ, that Jesus was in them, holiness. I was thinking of my Uncle Joe and my Aunt Barbara. They also had 10 children. And not just that, only big families. It was the contemplative life that they were so into prayer, the radiance in their lives. It was Jesus. It was the Father. Where do we find a life like that in our priest, in our bishop, in our fathers and mothers? All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. Everything that the Father had, everything the Father had, he gave Jesus. And I saw that, Jesus, in my grandfather. I saw it in my uncle. These households were so filled. Now, there was a warning in this, and in them I am glorified. I am not in the world any longer, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Some of their children, you know, when I think of the lives, saw this example, but didn't want it. In the United States, there are so many distractions. They lived in these United States, but their lives were contemplative. The center of their life. Now, yes, I want to go to a bishop, and his name was Paul, in the readings today. He meets with the people of Ephesus, and he's describing his life to them. And where is this in Paul? It's in the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 20. You know what my way of life has been ever since the first day I set foot among you in Asia. How I have served the Lord in all humility, with all the sorrows and trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. I have not hesitated to do anything that would be helpful to you. I have preached to you and instructed you both in public and in your homes, urging both Jew and Greek to turn to God and to believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. His life was an inner life of union with God the Father and Jesus, so that he was sharing this with others. And now you see me, a prisoner ahead in spirit. I am on my way to Jerusalem, but have no idea what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit in town after town has made it clear enough the imprisonment and persecution awaits me. The work that I have to do is to suffer, to die, and to rise. But life to me is not a thing was waste, was not a thing to waste words on, provided that when I finish my race, I have carried out the mission the Lord Jesus gave me. Father, just you sent me into the world, and now I'm coming to you. And you gave me this work to do, and I have carried out this mission. And that was to bear witness to the good news of God and His grace. When a bishop dies, and when a bishop is about to die, this is what his life witnesses to. When my grandfather and my Uncle Joe and their families, Paul was in this world, and this was his witness to those in this world. There's Jesus contemplating the Father. And the Father, we hear this prayer in the 17th chapter of John. And it is so powerful when we listen to this conversation that Jesus is having with his Father. We all have that opportunity to live in that intimacy with the Father because of Him. Every person who has been baptized carries the Trinity within herself or himself. You can at any moment of the day or night turn to the Father like Jesus did. Like Paul did, they are constantly aware of the intimacy. Contemplation is the very core and center of all missionary effort. Jesus is about to do his great mission. I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise. The work that I have come to do, I am about to do. And as he's about to do it, he has this magnificent conversation with his Father. He invites us into his sacred heart so that we, like him, can have constant conversation. When I have my suffering and my dying and my rising in my daily life. When I have my consolations and desolations, when I go through whatever I'm going through, my eyes, 24 hours a day, can be fixed on my Father. Raise your eyes at whatever moment in this life, day or night, and the Father is there, waiting and wanting to be spoken to, as Jesus is speaking to his Father, and the Father answers the Son. Every one of us was born to be a contemplative. If you are a baptized person, the only thing that can interfere with that, and I'm not offering you more than you can have, the only thing you must be aware of is the world. How often, and he warns us about it, they were in the world, and you gave them to me. I do not pray for the world, but I pray that you keep them from the world. I must admit, when I look at some of my relatives and my family, my uncle's family, my grandfather's family, many have been tempted by the world. Money, power, fame, fortune, and many things, pleasure, could distract us. It's around everyone. But in the heart of everyone in my family, baptized, confirmed, some ordained Christians, the Trinity dwells.
Monsignor?
Yes?
That is what you've just described in that glorious prayer of John 17. It really is that call for all of us to be mystics.
Yes.
It's a scary term for people. They think a mystic is Padre Pio, and which he was, of course, so obviously so. But it sounds like your grandfather was, and
yes,
your grandmother. And even the baby, in a way, that's been baptized, is called to that mysticism.
Yes.
Can you explain why that term might frighten some people and why they don't maybe understand it?
Listen to the prayer of Jesus. That really is the deepest mysticism. Jesus gives us this 17th chapter of contemplation because it is he who is constantly in the presence of the Father. And the Father and the Son are one through the power of the Spirit. So that as we enter into what we are in our baptism, we each have been baptized in the name of the Father. So that Father is in you in the name of Jesus. Jesus is in me and I've been transformed into Christ. And Jesus is in me and the Holy Spirit is in me. So that union that I have, I can actually activate. I think many are unfamiliar with prayer. That prayer is, I think, vocal prayer. It's not that I want to make less of the prayer, but unless it's energized, unless it's entered into with the presence. What is your prayer if it's vocal? If it's vocal and it's still addressed to the Father and it's addressed to Jesus or addressed to the Holy Spirit, or is it even addressed to one of the saints who might be with God? Well, I really believe there you're having conversation. It's relationship. So many of us are unaware that Jesus had this intimate relationship with his Father. And we are not experiencing the truth of our baptism when we aren't aware that the primary calling that we have is to be in relationship with our Father. And the relationship is one of love as a daughter and as a son. of God. 8-year-old girls can have that relationship with their father. And that's why the word is itself is used. When he cried and he said he raised his eyes to his father, he called him Abba, which is really in Hebrew, daddy. Dad, daddy, Abba, Abba. The intimate relationship that you have as a daughter with the father. Without that relationship, without that relationship, our Christian faith becomes quite sterile and externalized. And just many times has to do with external expressions and rituals. But it's the relationship that really gives us the intimacy and the listening. That what is the voice of the Father? It doesn't have the Father's voice back to Jesus here, that we could hear it. But it's his voice to the Father. What a magnificent outpouring of Jesus to his Father. And you yourself are invited to come into that. And then also, you're very much invited to listen to what the Father's going to say to you. This is the fifth day of our preparation of Pentecost, because the Holy Spirit has everything to do with this. You see, Jesus is gone into glory. Where is he now? He has that body that he got from Mary, and he has those wounds that are glorified, but he is in the presence of the Father. So in you, he is your head, and he is with the Father in you, so that you actually, when you enter into prayer, can enter into relationship with the glorified Lord, your head, with the Holy Spirit, your sanctifier, and with Mary, who is your mother and given to you from the cross. This magnificent Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and to be in the presence, and you could do that all day long. That's what the kind, and you actually can have union with God. It's not that I pray, but he, Jesus, who is in me, prays to the Father. So intimate. What is the word that we constantly use so much? Communion. Communion. I/Jesus. Jesus/John. I and Jesus, one. So intimate that my thoughts are his thoughts. My feelings become his feelings. My desires become his desires.
Final thought, Monsignor?
I pray that I would just like to end with those beginning words of the 17th chapter. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you. And through the power over all mankind that you have given him, let him give eternal life to all those you have entrusted to him. And eternal life is this, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. God bless.